Hi, everybody. Dean Chris back in the studio this week doing our podcast, Straight Talk on Leadership. What a treat this week. I am just so absolutely excited to offer Wayne Ivey, Sheriff Wayne Ivey from the Brevard County Sheriff's Office is going to be our guest. You know, folks, he is going to be, he's just going to provide so much information on leadership. But Wayne is one of them straight talkers too, man. So you're really going to enjoy this podcast. So as we always say on Straight Talk, set back, turn up the volume, and get ready to change your life. Hi, I'm Dean Chris. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple, help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, be ready to change your life. Hi, folks, everybody. This is Dean Chris back in the studio with Straight Talk on Leadership. As I said in the promo, we've got Wayne Ivey with us. Man, I can't wait to get to Wayne. You're going to love Wayne. Wayne is one of these folks who is just a leader's leader. He's a cop's cop. He's one of these folks that I've known for a number of years, and he and I are not only great friends, we've worked together on the road for many years, and you're just going to love Wayne. And he has about 1,700 employees down in Brevard County, Florida, and you're just going to love Wayne, I promise you that. So, folks, we want to thank you for joining us on Straight Talk, and as always on Straight Talk, we couldn't do this without you. We couldn't do these episodes. We couldn't do them. We're in the 80s now. And I would have never thought years ago when we started our podcast, we'd still be going strong. We've picked our numbers up just because of you. We ask you if you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe to it. If you like what you hear, tell somebody about it, share it with someone. You know, we're on here to try to help not only you be a better leader, but be a better leader at home, be a better leader at the office, just be a better person. And this podcast is provided so that we can help you be better as well as not only you, but us. And we've been doing this for almost a couple of years now, and it's really been a big hit. And we want to thank you. Matter of fact, it was named one of the top 10 podcasts by Police One. And we were just pleased to be able to receive that ranking, top 10 ranking. So we couldn't do it without you. And we want to thank you. As always, we want to ask you to go to LHLN.org. Which is our website, and that's where you can find out information about our classes. I've been on the road, really busy for the last month. Just got back from Hampton, New Hampshire this week. But week before that, I was in Hartford, Connecticut with the Hartford Police Department. What a tremendous group of people. And just did all their supervisory staff, or at least their lieutenants and sergeants, about 90 of them. It was just an amazing week to be there with them. And then before that was in Boulder, Colorado, and just what another great group of folks out there in Boulder. I want to thank all the people who host our classes and especially you students who attend. It was a great week. Be headed to Palm Beach this week and on the road again, but love it. And as always, just enjoy changing lives and sharing the story of leadership and how to get better as a leader. Now, without further ado, I want to thank Kelly Corvin, who's producing the podcast for us this week. Kelly, thank you for all that you do to make this happen. Set this up with my good friend, Wayne Ivey, and also what I consider to be one of the best sheriffs in the entire country. He's one of those folks who will stand by his people, but he'll also do the right thing. And that's hard to do in leadership. And he will always do what he thinks right for Brevard County. And Wayne and I spent a number of years on the road. He was the instructor for LifeLock, talked about identity theft and police work. Matter of fact, he helped establish that program for FBI leader. He was the lead instructor and the one that made that a national program. So Wayne's got a lot of experience in the classroom. He's got a lot of experience in leadership. And Wayne, I just want to thank you for joining us today, man. It's what a pleasure. Thank you.
Always great to be with you, Dean. You and I have traveled all over the United States and had a blast. And I love what you're doing in the leadership world out there. I've had a chance to sit in on some of your classes and just watch you do the things you do. So glad to be a part of it, brother. Glad to be with you today. And I know we got a lot to talk about because when you look at everything that's going on in the law enforcement world, it's a new day.
Wayne, let me tell you a little bit about Wayne. I'm going to let him tell a little bit more about his story. Was Wayne's done about everything in law enforcement. He started out in 1980 at the Clay County Sheriff's Office, and then put himself through classes, put himself to be certified, then went on the road, was narcotics detective, worked for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And, you know, I can remember when Wayne decided to run for sheriff, Wayne and I were actually on the road. Now, he had decided he was going to run for a number of years, but man, he put his campaign together and I watched him. I watched him go from thinking about doing something to actually implementing a strategy to do it, then executing that strategy. So Wayne's one of those people that literally he gets his mind set to do something, he's going to make it happen. And I really like that about Wayne. Just watching him really, I guess it was a dream of yours to kind of become sheriff and to watch you put that into play and do it. So, I mean, I got to see it and it was awesome. And so I want to let you know that I think a lot of that. So Wayne, tell us just a little bit more about your story, so the folks out there will just kind of get to know you a little better.
Sure. You know, I started probably as far in law enforcement as you could. At about 16 years old, I became an explorer for the Clay County Sheriff's Office. And I really credit that being to something that's become very important in our communities today. And that is, I'm a school resource deputy by the name of Mike Lawrence just talked to me, getting involved, and fell in love with the profession of law enforcement, became a corrections deputy, patrol deputy, investigator, and then worked narcotics, homicide, all of it. Then got a chance to go to work for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, just an incredible agency, and got many opportunities there. You know, that's a lot of what we talk about too in leadership is seizing the moment, seize the opportunities that come to you. And I will tell you that when I worked for FDLE, I got a chance to not only start the first ever in the country statewide or task force on identity theft, but also to create some amazing programs, the Child Abduction Response Team program that is used as the protocol for child abductions throughout the country now. Was actually part of creating that with myself and Jay Etheridge out of the Orlando region. So, you know, a lot of opportunities came my way, but you said earlier that it was always kind of a dream of mine to be sheriff, and it was always a dream. It's funny how sometimes dreams become reality and you find yourself doing exactly what you want to do. But it's been a great ride, 41 years now, and I still got a lot of gas left in the tank and looking forward to continue to do it for as long as the citizens will let me serve here.
Well, I will tell you one thing. If you know Wayne, there's one thing for sure about Wayne. He is full of energy. He is full of ideas, and he is absolutely a person who makes things happen. So that's why I love you. You know, Wayne, we got a lot to talk about. I want to talk to you about the current state of law enforcement. I want to talk to you about your thoughts on this. And, you know, you and I have been sharing some ideas, your ideas about leadership, and you got a topic that you're going to be teaching some stuff on. And I really want to talk about that too, because,
sure.
You're just an innovative, creative person. And I really appreciate that. But, you know, Trump actually saw some of the stuff you were doing, and you got noticed by President Trump. And I know you got to be able to stand next to him when he was in Florida and got to do all those things. He took notice of some of the stuff you were doing down there. So, and not only DeSantos.
Yeah, our governor, I've been blessed to stand with our governor quite a bit, and certainly to stand with the president. One of those things where throughout his term, I not only got to introduce him as a candidate, but I also got to introduce him as the president for a huge rally he was doing in our community. Got to go stand in the Oval Office when he was vetoing the immigration bill that had landed on his desk and did absolutely nothing to stop illegal immigration. But you know, that's one of those, Dean, where you never think you'll be standing in the Oval Office, and then one day you find yourself there. And I never really thought I'd get anywhere around the White House unless maybe I was doing the landscaping or something. But
well, I thought that too several times.
Got a chance to be there with some other great sheriffs from around the country, and then the governor here in the state of Florida is one of those governors. One of those very few governors, I should say, in the state of Florida, in the country, that is literally standing beside law enforcement, is standing strong as a former prosecutor, and he gets it. And he is just this past week, he gave all first responders in the state of Florida a $1,000 bonus for how they've responded to the pandemic. And so one of those guys that's proud to stand with and stand shoulder to shoulder and fight with.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your White House thing. You know, I literally saw that picture of you up there. And you know what's funny about that is that, you know, even though you went up there alone, you did take all of us with you. I know how you are, and I know how you represent not only the people, but, you know, people in law enforcement in general. So I felt like I was standing there with you. I was a little envious. I'd like to have been there with you, but, you know, that's another day. But I saw that, and it was awesome. And I saw the picture with you and DeSantos down in Orlando, I believe it was, or thinking it was.
Yeah, we were actually in Polk County.
Polk County.
Yeah, with another great sheriff from the state of Florida, Grady Judd, and a number of other sheriffs that were there with us. But that was when the governor was signing the anti-riot bill. And I got to tell you, Dean, when you're standing in the Oval Office, you know, we were there for what was actually the president's first veto. And we were standing there, and you're focused on the mission at hand, but you find yourself drifting off into the history of that room and the presidents that walked through those doors and sat at that particular desk and the decisions that were made, and you would drift off, and then you just kind of bring yourself back to what was happening at hand. And it was an amazing experience. I truly feel blessed to have had an opportunity to go there. And I look at what's happening right now in our country and knowing that we need strong law enforcement leaders that are going to not only remember their oath, but remember where they came from. And that's one thing that I never lose sight of. I may be blessed to wear these 8 stars on my collar, but at the end of the day, all I've ever been is a cop, and that's all I ever wanted to be was a cop. And so I don't lose sight of that, man. I still climb in the patrol car and go ride with my team and go out and make arrests with the fugitive unit. I do 10-50s out on the interstate, and my team gets mad at me, but I do them. So I just love the idea and the blessing that I've had to serve as a cop.
Well, you know, Wayne, you have 1,700 employees, and you got like 600 deputies that work there. Brevard County, if you don't know where that is, it's Cocoa Beach, Florida, Titusville, in that area. And that's kind of the cruise ship docking point for most of the major cruise ship places. So there's a lot going on there. And I've had the opportunity to not only teach at your agency, but also at Titusville with John Lau. And he's another great person that I really think a lot of. And he's the chief in Titusville, and they got a great group of people down there, as you do. I know a lot of your staff.
There's so many things going on here. You know, we have the second busiest passenger cruise port in the country. We have the Space Center, which is really the nucleus of our community. This is where, you know, we entered the space race and where we won the space race and where we're continuing to do amazing things and outdistance everybody else. Right here. We have Harris L3 technology here. We have Patrick Air Force Base here. We have, I want to say last count, 5 weapons manufacturers that are based and housed here. So there's a lot going on in this amazing community of 600,000. And all along the way, Dean, what we've been able to do in the last 8 years is lower our crime rate by 44%. And we did that by developing an amazing relationship with our community. We set out day one saying we are going to get our citizens vital crime prevention information before they become a victim, not after. And we set out, we do, as you know, we do a lot on social media. We have a tremendous following on social media. We push out information constantly to our citizens, reminding them that they're the first line of defense for them and their family. And it's a 44% reduction in crime rate in 8 years. More importantly, we had fewer victims of crime last year than any time in the last 40 years in our community.
Well, you've done some innovative things there. And if I can say this, I use your community to, let me see how I can say, pad my resume of teaching, because you literally are close to NASA. So I have actually told people I've taught at NASA. And then I tell them, they're not really, but close by over there. And there was a couple of people from NASA in the class. So, you know, I've been able to pad my resume, and I have said, man, I taught at NASA.
Looks good.
But, you know, but the reality of it is I taught close to NASA. Okay. So let's just put full disclosure, you know, so that's kind of like, you know, we have to understand that. But, you guys down there, the one thing I think is amazing is you guys get to see all those space shuttle blast off and all those things from like pretty close up, as close as you can get. And that has to be pretty cool.
Let's take a short break from the show and we'll be right back.
Hi, Straight Talk listeners. This is Kelly Corbin. If you enjoy listening to Dean on air, how would you like to have him come and either be an instructor in a live class or be a keynote speaker at an upcoming convention that you're helping to plan? If that's the case, give me a call. You can find my number at our website, www.lhln.org, or fill out the request form on our website, and I'll reach back out to you. We look forward to working with you to grow future leaders. Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Corbin at Leaders Helping Leaders Network, wanting to invite you to take Dean's next live virtual class, The Business of Leadership. It will start June 4th and continue for 1 week over four 90-minute sessions on Zoom. You'll get about half of the time Dean instructing around the principles and sections that he has in his book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line, and the rest of the time is coaching and interaction with other leaders in the law enforcement community around the country. It's truly a great experience for all who have participated. Don't miss it. Sign up today at www.lhln.org.
It is absolutely amazing. I was born and raised in Florida, and so I've pretty much seen every space launch they've ever done here since I was born. And it's one of those, every time you see it, you get goosebumps, you get a feeling and a sense of patriotism watching the things that our country's doing. And it's absolutely amazing. You know, last year, 2020, while all the things were going on in the pandemic, we had amazing things going on here in Brevard where we were returning a crew to space. And it had been many, many years since we had done a crewed launch. And it was amazing. Now, you know, you mentioned earlier about the leadership class you and I have talked about and are working on, Leadership from the Ledge. And what I will tell you is that was a perfect example of Leadership from the Ledge, because we had the NASA was telling people to watch the launch from home, to watch it virtually. And I was telling people that Brevard County was open for launch business. I had to look at my restaurants and my hotels and places that were literally going out of business because of no business. And we had to, you know, we had this beautiful and amazing launch that was taking place, a piece of American history. And so I invited the world to come to Brevard County and watch the launch. And I took some criticism for it. I had people saying that, you know, it was the wrong thing to do and everything else. But at the end of the day, I thrive and I work on a concept of it takes a community to protect a community. And that's not just about protecting people from crime. It's about protecting our community. And in that case, we were trying to get our businesses back up and running, trying to get them going. It worked. We had hundreds of thousands of people come here for the launch, and they got to see an amazing piece of history. In fact, it worked better than we imagined, because the first day it didn't go, and the second day they had to come back. And so we got 2 days of it, and gave our businesses a little bump in getting back in. But, you know, it was one of those where you had to make a decision what was right. And at the end of the day, what I thought was right, Dean, was this is America. Who am I to tell people they can't come watch a piece of American history that, quite frankly, their tax paying dollars paid for? So we did the right thing. We stand on the Constitution and the freedoms of this country. And we invited people to come here, and it was an amazing time.
You know, and if you, the listeners out there who are listening to Wayne, if you got any doubt what kind of leader Wayne is, Wayne was talking about a class a few minutes ago, talking about leading from the edge. And that doesn't mean you're on the edge, you know, getting ready to fall off into the abyss. That means that when you lead, you definitely got to have that edge about you to do things that other people won't do. And you got to do some of the right things when other people say that's not the right thing to do. And I really like that about Wayne. He's always been that type of leader. And so, Wayne, you know, let's get into talking about the current state of where we're at in law enforcement. You know, and you and I have been in law enforcement. I started in 78. I'm a bunch older than you are. And I started in 78. But I was only 12 when I started. So they had a new program
I wish that was true. You're younger now if you had that. I know, right?
Yeah, I wish that was true. But no, I started, you know, I've been in law enforcement a lot. We've seen a lot of things go on. We've seen the Rodney King, you and I both were working in Rodney King thing. We've seen the Laquan McDonald. We've seen the Fergusons. We've seen the issues, all types of issues that have occurred. But the George Floyd thing was kind of a different kind of turn for law enforcement. But we've seen a lot of things go on in law enforcement. So, you know, law enforcement right now is under attack from all sides. It doesn't mean that everybody hates law enforcement, but it's just that law enforcement's under scrutiny like it had never, it's never ever been before. And so, you know, what are your thoughts on where we're at right now? And what are your thoughts on kind of what the state is now of law enforcement? And I'd really like to get your take on that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that it's a very vocal minority out there that's making all the noise. The overwhelming volume of citizens throughout our country love their law enforcement officers, respect law enforcement, and would never, ever do anything that opposed law enforcement. It's this very small group that is doing it. And what I will tell you is that in my community, for example, in Brevard County, man, our citizens love us. They trust us and they protect us just as much as we love, trust, and protect them. So, you know, I think it's important for us to recognize. Now, when you look at the dynamics, when you look at the noise that is being made out there, the insanity of defunding the police, the people that came up with that idea had no idea at all of what they were talking about. In fact, what I think happened is they ran defund the police up the flagpole, Dean, and it got no breeze in the flag. So now what they're running up the flagpole is defame the police. What they're trying to do now is really destroy our brand, destroy the brand of law enforcement that so many people love and so many people are drawn to. So what we're seeing is them attack us on all levels, attack us at everything. And what frustrates me the most is in any given profession, you know, in law enforcement, 99.9% of our law enforcement officers do it right day in and day out. They get up, they put their uniform on, they go to work to save lives, not to harm lives. And, you know, when you look at that, when you look at the number of encounters we have across the country, when you look at the number of peaceful arrests, the number of non-resisting arrests, the numbers just overwhelm the numbers that are done wrong. And so what we have to start looking at is, why is law enforcement the only profession that comes under fire like that? I'm shocked. You know, the NFL came out and just lamb-blasted law enforcement, just targeted law enforcement. You know, the same law enforcement officers that protect their stadiums, the same law enforcement officers that do all the things for them to keep them and their players safe. They come out. But here's what's funny. I didn't see them come out and attack all the New England Patriots when Aaron Hernandez killed a man. Didn't they all wear the same uniform? I mean, why did they not come out and say, well, obviously all the New England Patriots are murderers too because Aaron Hernandez was. You know why they didn't say it? Because it's ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense to say that. When you look at the number of doctors that have malpractice happen and they take somebody's life, it doesn't mean that everybody that wears a white coat is a bad doctor. It just means that one individual was. When Michael Vick was involved in a dogfighting ring and abusing and cruelty to animals, it didn't mean all the Atlanta Falcons were. So what's amazing to me is how all of a sudden law enforcement officers are targeted because of one bad apple or because of one mistake that's made, and they lump everybody in because we all wear the same uniform.
Yeah, and I do think there's I think what you said there was really interesting. You said that they're attacking the brand of law enforcement, because I do think that, and I do know that the image of law enforcement is extremely important, because the image of law enforcement does allow us to do our job, and it allows us to do it easier, if you will, if you have a good image of law enforcement, good community support. But, you know, we find ourselves in a state right now where a lot of officers feel completely paralyzed. Because they don't know if the agency will support them. They don't know if the community will support them. And there's just a lot of issues out there right now for the individual officer who is on the street, because that's where the rubber meets the road. And you know that better than I do. But that's where that individual officer out there right now is certainly under attack. What do you say to that? What do you say to that cop that's on the street?
Well, I can tell you exactly what I said. I went out subsequent to the George Floyd incident and some of the others we've had, I went out and I met with as many of my deputies as I could. I went to their musters. I met them on the side of the road, and I told them this exact message. And the message is, you cannot hesitate. If you hesitate, you will get killed out here. Do your jobs. Follow your training. Make sure that you're keeping up on your retraining and all your modules and everything else. But you have to do your job out here. And if you hesitate, we're going to be attending your funeral. And that's unacceptable for me. In fact, what I've come to tell them is, every one of us has to be worried and concerned about having our names splashed across national news for something bad. But I would rather see that. And I never want to see that. So let me be clear, but I'd rather see that than have to read their name on the wall in Washington, D.C. And that's what happens when you hesitate. So I tell my team to rely on their training. I tell them to know that they have a sheriff that believes in them. They have a community that loves them, and to do their job and to do it right. And, you know, my team, Dean, my team knows that if you mess up, I'm going to put my shoe in your behind. I'm not going to hold back, because you're representing our agency, you're representing our profession, and you're tarnishing our badge if you do it wrong. But they also know that if somebody's taking a shot at them that they don't deserve, I'm going to stand in front of them and I'm going to defend them. And there's the problem. We have leaders. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have people in position of leadership today that are not leaders. They're not standing out in front of their team and saying enough is enough. You're not going to do this. And that's the biggest problem we're facing.
Well, you know, and I was a police chief for 17 years, and I do know, I have worked at a sheriff's office. I do know it's a bit easier for a sheriff to make those statements when they're more elected officials than when you get to be a police chief. It's you're kind of more at the, you serve at the pleasure of the city manager and the city council, which is not the same as serving at the pleasure of the voters. So I do think there's a little bit of what would you say to police chiefs or to leaders who really don't have that autonomy that you have to go out there and make a statement that's bold like that? I mean, is there something they can say? Is there something that you would recommend that they say?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for them, and you're right, you know, in my community, it takes 600,000 votes to take me out of office. For most of our chiefs that are serving at municipalities out here, three votes and they're gone, or they upset the city manager and they're gone. So I think for them, you're right, it does come at a different angle. I have the ability and the autonomy to be able to say what I believe in my heart. In fact, I always tell everybody, as sheriff, I am going to say and do what I believe needs to be done to protect my citizens and my deputies and our Constitution. In fact, I call it the three C's, our citizens, our cops, and our Constitution. But, you know, for a police chief that sits in a little bit different position, what I would say is make sure that you're keeping your council, your city manager, your mayor well informed of what you're doing and the impact that this type of discourse is having on your agency. Make sure that you're getting them involved and engaged in your agency. Have them go on ride-alongs with your team. Take them and have them shoot the don't shoot simulators, the Milo machines. Get them to where, you know, they are fully up to speed on every issue that's facing us today. And I always say that if you show me a problem in the world today, I'll show you where education and awareness are part of the solution. And if you provide that education awareness to that city council and you provide it to that city manager and that mayor, you're actually creating a partnership with them, and you're getting them involved in that circle that's going to help protect your team.
I mean, I think that's a tremendously thoughtful and insightful answer. Wayne, we're going to take a short break right here. So we're going to let folks hear a little bit about what's going on with some of our classes and stuff. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. All right, Wayne, we're right back with you. Thank you very much for joining us. If you haven't noticed, we are joined by Wayne Ivey, who is with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, and he is absolutely one of the best guests that we've had. Wayne, can we take a break? Let me take this for a second. So let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you're all good. Bye.
All right, Andrew. Here we go, Andrew. We're back with it. All right, folks. Hey, we're back in the studio. Thank you for listening to our promos there. And I got Sheriff Wayne Ivey with me. We're going to continue in our conversation here. Wayne, I think you got a good point. I really love what you just said about the three C's. Oh, my God. You know, I didn't really think about that. But the citizens and the cops, you know, in the Constitution way, you know, that is, where'd you come up with that? I mean, I know, did somebody help
you? I was talking to a group one day and I told them, I said, look, you know, as your sheriff, my job is to protect our citizens, our cops, and our Constitution. And it just kind of stuck. So I started calling it the three C's. And, you know, it's really, that is exactly what any law enforcement leader's job is to do. And, you know, in today's time, I had somebody say, oh, well, you're not supposed to protect the cops. So, no, I really am. I'm supposed to protect the great professional law enforcement officers that are out here. And I'm supposed to protect them in two ways. One, for standing up for them when they do it right. And two, by weeding out those that do it wrong so it doesn't tarnish their badge. And so, you know, we do all of that.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. You can go to www.lhln.org to find upcoming classes where you can book Dean for his new class. And you can also check out his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.